What is up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Run Your Mouth podcast. We've got a stacked episode. We've got the latest of the Donald Trump court cases coming at you. We've got Israel maybe trying to start World War III. Maybe just they're all poking at each other. It's the next round of Tag You're It and the giant money game of send us more funds. But listen, before we do all that, I want to thank everyone that responded to me on Summer Porch Tour. The first leg of the Porch Tour is complete. We've booked out every single weekend. I'm exploring a new ticketing website because Eventbrite was starting to really suck. So should have links up shortly. Here's the two dates up top I would like to plug. Firstly, if you don't have a mom and you're going to be all alone on Mother's Day, I'm going to be throwing a Mother's Day comedy show from Brooklyn Comedy Club. Going to stack the lineup with some of my friends, do some time. So if you're out in the New York City area, please come out for that. Mother's Day, 6 p.m. Maybe do brunch for Mother's Day, or maybe do Mother's Day afterwards. But come enjoy my comedy show. And then kickstarting Summer Porch Tour out in Florida in Palm Beach. Fancy Palm Beach. We're doing a backyard show. Going to be doing some stand-up. Me and Clint are going to be doing a live podcast afterwards. So we're going to be starting the tour down in Florida. Come get your tickets, fly down there, drive the Florida coast, and come party. Going to be there one night only. Going to fly in, going to do the show, fly out the next morning, hopefully get hammered on the beach at some point along the way. So I am looking forward to that. Now, before we get into the episode, firstly, I appreciate you, Mr. Justin Watson, letting me know that you can hear me. And then, of course, Eric John Pizzart. Let's go, Robbie. Hell yeah. And let's, I can't wait to get back out to Rhode Island and have some delicious pizza strips, despite the pizza boss declaring them not even food. That was a great reaction. You guys should go watch that. Barstool Sports, they did. Anyways, can I just talk about what I want to talk about? Why, you guys, I changed the format here. Now I can see all the comments, and that's going to be even more ADD than the usual amount of ADD. But listen, before we get into the news, because we do have a stacked episode, I know you guys like to hear about every grievance that's going on in my life. You guys like to hear about everything that goes wrong, and I just like to have a moment to say goodbye to my trusted carry-on bag, because it's gone. I tried to go to the airport to collect it, and there was no parking available at the airport. I went all the way to the airport not to fly somewhere, just to retrieve a bag after making three calls to Delta. And listen, this doesn't let Spirit off the hook. Spirit doesn't fly airlines, and then they just like to hold on to your bag as leverage for a month so that they can steal more of your bad energy. This one was on me. I left an airport after drinking in the morning, and I left the bag there. And then I wanted to go and retrieve the bag before going to do spots in the city. And I thought an hour was going to be enough time to just go to an airport and not fly anywhere. And it wasn't enough time because you're circling and only to find out that that lot's closed. And then there's another lot closed. And then you try and talk to the people. They might as well have robots also. This is another job that should be replaced by robots, is anyone who exists somewhere to give you instructions when they don't speak English. So you can't go, hey, man, I just got to run in there for 10 minutes. Is there anywhere I can park this? Yeah, it's closed. Yeah, no, I get that it's closed, but can you make... I'm special. I'm trying to relay to you that I'm special, and you're not listening to me, and you're just treating me like all the other human beings that just come through here, as if not everyone going to the airport's got a problem. But then you just wonder, if the airport's a good business, why can't they run it where it's not just all a problem? Am I the first guy that ever left his bag there accidentally? They can't have a single 10-minute waiting section that they clear out the gypsy cab drivers from? Delta can't make any arrangements? Anyways, goodbye, bag. Who knows what kind of things were in there? There was definitely an old pair of sneakers that smelled anyway, so I'm okay with saying goodbye to those sneakers. There were a few too many sheaths to let go of, but luckily he's a loyal sponsor of the show, and I bet if I explained that Delta did me dirty, wouldn't let me park my car, he'll hook me up with some new sheath underwears. I definitely had my my bag with like all the toiletries, and that was a good bag, because by now I'm on the road. Oh, you know what else I left behind? This is like some grandpa shit right here. I have a big Ziploc bag that's filled with like powders and pills, but not even like exotic stuff, like not even like Yocratums or anything like that. It's like just electrolyte packages. It's the Imodiums. It's everything that could go wrong for your stomach in a trip. I am prepared for it. I've got packages of ginger. I like putting my grandma. I used to make fun of my grandma when we would go to restaurants, and she always had her little tea, her peppermint tea. And it's like, what's wrong with you, lady? Just eat some food. And that's because I was 17 and I had no idea what was it. She could have warned me. She could have been like, listen, you're making fun of me for having my tea bags now, but just wait till you're a touring comedian and you think you finally made it to rock and roll lifestyle, only to bring your own ginger packets, Imodium, Pepto-Bismol and lactate pills everywhere you go. She should have been like, you just wait and see. You're Jewish as well. You're 10 years away from you know, shriveling up and having stomach problems. So anyways, I'm now thinking about all the things that I left behind in this bag and that maybe it would have been worth retrieving, but it's a lost cause. When am I going to go back to the airport and not fly again? That's not an option. I can't do a third trip to JFK airport without flying. So anyways, goodbye to that bag. I look forward to more moments in my apartment when I realized that there was a thing that I needed that was in that bag. And by the way, you know what's funny about losing a bag? It's like you couldn't sell that bag to someone for any amount of money, but what it costs you to replace the random shit that was in the bag. Like, I got these random film clamps because tripods are annoying to deal with. Those are probably $50 a pop. All right. Anyways, the bag is gone. And I just wanted to give it a nice farewell on the show before we get into some topics. But luckily, we do have more sponsors coming into the show. So who knows? Maybe I'll get to a point where I'm so well sponsored on the Run Your Mouth podcast, I can just leave luggage at every airport. I could literally just check the luggage and be like, you guys can have that. Sponsored by YoKratom.com. Just going to pick up new luggage in the next town. But anyways, this episode is brought to you by ZepHemp.com. I've told you guys about Z Extraordinary Farms before. This, I was just trying to talk about my bag, and this got a little bit too sponsor loaded. I promise you, we're about to get into the news, but I've been rubbing that oil on everything. Feels nice. It's got the CBD. It's got the CBGs. It's probably got other CBs in it. And sometimes after I shave my head, I like to throw it on my scalp. And, you got skin ailments, you got this, that, you got to massage a sore muscle. You go to ZepHemp.com, load up on some sponsor items because I will be leaving more baggage into random airports. All right, let's take a couple comments before we get into the news. Common sense. I've been traveling for over 20 years with my job. Love to hear the rants about your travel woes. Thank you. You know what? That makes me feel good. Eric John Pizza Artist. One's going hungry. It was a good line. I like the pizza strips, but also I can understand if you're looking for a straight up slice of pizza, that's not what you're looking for. I personally am out of the cheese game. So the pizza strips are a nice treat. Dog smoking a bong. What up, homie? What up, dog smoking a bong? I hope that treats you. I hope you got good dog snacks for after you hit that bong. I hope it's a nice day for you. Oh, one other thing. If you guys didn't watch, Dave Smith tearing it up in that Zero Hedge debate, what a week he had. Piers Morgan and then the Zero Hedge debate. You guys got to go watch that. It's it's odd to watch Dave Smith blow up on the Israel talk. Like, I wish there was less censorship during the COVID thing. I mean, we got bigger over the COVID thing, but I wish that was more the thing than the Israel thing. But man, is speaking truth. And that was a phenomenal display. It would have been I had heard about the debate a few days beforehand, and in my head, I was like, that would have been cooler if it was just you versus Prager, and then you got to watch that in live action. I don't know who that lady was or why she can't pronounce Hamas in a way that doesn't make you want to stop listening every single time she says the word. And listen, I blunder names on the show all the time. I guess I didn't realize just how irritating that was, but Prager is as good at that as you possibly can be. Where I'm so dumb, sometimes I'd hear him speak, I'd be like, I think Prager just won. That sounded like a good point. And then Dave Smith, it was like a volley over the net where you thought someone had a nice hit and that they were going to score a point, and he would spike that right back into his face. So kudos to Dave. That was incredible. He's out there speaking truth. And if you guys didn't watch that, go check it out. All right, let's go. Let's get into it. Let's start with the Donald Trump trial. It's going on. It's in action. And you got, look at this courtroom that they have Donald Trump in. You know, he walks in every single, am I some kind of peasant? Do you really expect me to sit in these? I've sat in more comfortable chairs in church. This isn't it. Why don't we do this in Mar-a-Lago? Okay. I can redecorate this. No one needs to be this uncomfortable. This is, no one should have to sit in a room like this. This is a disgrace. My hiney is supposed to be on significantly more comfortable chairs than this. They were also saying that that Donald Trump fell asleep in court, which Donald Trump's got to be a fun snorer. Just
I'll build a wall. Everyone likes me. They like me so much. I'm so great. I'm so long. She's an animal. She became a fat pig. I'm innocent.
Him just pretending to be snoring in court. And then here he is. This must be the ultimate ADD punishment. If you've ever had anything that will get Donald Trump just to quit on the spot, it's making this guy sit in detention and sit in some boring courtroom. I mean, but take it as a person with ADD. This is what's exhaust your energy. If you're Donald Trump and you're getting into fights on the internet all the time, you're going to have to get into skirmishes. You get to yell, you get to shout. Like, that's excitement. There's some excitement in that. Even if they're coming after you, the CIA is coming after you, you got a Mueller investigation coming after you. It's all a spectacle and it's excitement. But here you have the guy's actually got to show up every single day. He has to sit there and he's not allowed to comment. If you've ever figured out how to defeat Donald Trump, this is it right here. Where one, he'll just, I'm done. I'm going back to playing golf. You guys win. I don't care anymore. I mean, to think about Donald Trump just having to sit through this, not allowed to talk, and just has to sit there in this stupid courtroom. And apparently, he's already breaking the rules. This was, he took a call from court, which is fun. He's just sitting there going to the judge. Hold on. It's one of my other lovers saying how good at sex I am and no one's ever upset with me. I don't even know what this court case is about. You should hear it from this lady. She says I was the best ever and that my dick was totally awesome. Okay. I feel like maybe, Judge, maybe you want to take this call. All right. And then we have the jurors that apparently they finally picked a jury. And if there was ever a court case that you actually wanted to be on the jury for, I mean, most court cases, everyone, you want to get out of court. No one wants to go to court. It's not fun. It's not fun being pulled off your job. You got to show up every day. You got to eat lunch at an assigned time. You got to watch this. You got to watch this lawyer make a spectacle, that lawyer make a spectacle. Everyone tries and get out of jury duty, unless it's the most entertaining show on earth. If it's the most entertaining show on earth, if it's Donald Trump, do they let you bring snacks? You should be allowed to bring snacks. I feel like if you're on the jury, you should be able to every single day go into bodega, load up like it's a road trip, and just sit there with your Twizzlers. I like chocolate-covered pretzels on the road. That's a good road snack. Maybe some beef jerky. Are you allowed to have cocktails, or do they get upset at you for cocktails? What if you can argue, hey, listen, I'm worse at sitting still than Donald Trump. I can just envision, it's like that scene in Where the Buffalo Roam, where Hunter S. Thompson shows up with this thing of ice and the Bloody Mary. That's how you make court better for juries that have to sit there and watch all this shenanigans. Wouldn't it be great if the jury was secretly pro-Trump and then one day they just all showed up tanned and dressed like him? Or if the jury, you had some actual creeps on the jury and they're like, excuse me, Your Honor, can I ask another question about that lady's vagina? Excuse me, Your Honor, I'm just curious, what's the proper way to make hush money payments to your prostitute? Just so I have a full understanding of the law. Your Honor, can we hear it again from Donald Trump's side of the story of what happened when he brought her back to the room? All right, and that is it for our first topic, I believe. I think we just covered all the details of the court case. Oh, here's, this is just funny. Some lady who got thrown off the jury was like, he was less orange than I expected. I don't know why. It's just not news. Like, some lady on the jury was like, I was expecting him to be a little bit more orange. He seems to be more yellowy. Maybe Donald Trump's like a mood ring. You know, you get him, his color changes based on how bored he is. That if you're really boring him, he starts turning into more of a, like a urine yellow, versus when he's more vibrant and having fun, he's a little more orange. Or maybe he's not going to be able to tan as regularly with this committed court schedule of having to show up every single day and just sit there for it. The lady did report back, which I just figured that this is going to be the thing that kills him. The thing that ages him, where he starts looking like Joe Biden. They finally figured out it's like being back in kindergarten where it's detention. You got to go sit in the corner. They finally figured out how to shut the guy up. He's not allowed to talk about the case and he's just got to sit in court and he just has to take it and he just has to sit there. And the judge told him he has to be there. Son's graduation. I don't care. You got to sit here. You got to sit here and you got to be quiet. And he's like, but I like doing Sudafed. It's more of an upper. I'm not a downer guy. I can't just sit here. So anyways, we'll see how this plays out for Donald Trump. But at the moment, it's somewhat amusing that the guy is just stuck sitting in court. And even the jury who got thrown off saying that he looked more orange also reported that he appears bored. All right, let's take a couple comments before we do. Look at this. We're getting fancy here. And we're going to shift to talking about the situation in Iran. So there you go. Look at that background change. Isn't that fancy, everybody? All right. Eric John, pizza artist. If Trump gets jaundice, it'll be the best jaundice anyone has ever seen. I actually don't know what that word means. I got to be honest. Red Z, I'm kind of APT to removing the human element and doing, I don't know what that comment is. All right, cool. Great comments, everybody. You really came through on that one. All right, let's get into the Israel shenanigans. This is from the New York Times. Miscalculation led to escalation and clash between Israel and Iran with, the reason that this thing kicked off is because they targeted an embassy. They killed a general, and Israel was going, we didn't think they'd mind. It was a free demolition. We didn't even know they liked that building. It wasn't that nice of a building. So there you go. Israel, they're reporting back. We didn't even think they'd care if we hit their embassy. And then everyone was getting upset with Israel. Iran, they do the coordinated strike back. They get permission from the United States of America. They get their orders of what they can do that won't escalate the situation. They do it. Nothing gets hurt. Nothing gets bombed. No big deal. And then Israel turns around and goes, you're not going to tell us that we can't bomb them back. We're going to make our own decisions. Basically going straight, quit telling me what to do, mom. And then mom is like, can you stop just blowing things up and be more like the other countries that don't just go blow things up? And they're like, no, quit telling me what to do. And so what do? They hit them back. This is from the Week magazine. I loved this line. Israel, the Times said, Israel can do elegant military maneuvers that are not noisy or cause significantly military damage, but which deliver the message Israel wants. It's like a diving contest where Israel's giving itself a 10. In this theater of non-war war, Israel's getting a 10 ranking for evading the missile systems or whatever can shoot down invaders in Iran and successfully hitting a target that was not an important target and making a soft landing without much of a splash. And, you know, usually Israel, they hit all sorts of civilians all over the place. So you got to give them some credit here for actually pinpointing a target and not killing random innocent people. I mean, usually when Israel's bombing things, maybe this might make their entire Gaza operations look bad. But when it comes to this particular targeted missile strike, the people sat on the sideline like a diver. They held up their signs, and Israel's giving itself a 10 on its latest war theater. Now, this is from the New York Times. Iranian and Israel television played down the strike, as did some officials. A newsreader in Iran described the attack as not a big deal. And, Iran's being surprisingly chill about all this, right? You would think for your mortal enemy, for the people that are out there building a nuclear bomb, want to do nothing but destroy your country. And this one, they're just going, not a big deal. All right, whatever. They sent some drones over here and they bombed the building. No big deal. There you go. Iran, surprisingly chill. Maybe they got legal weed and kratom out there or something. The Israeli military declined to comment, a senior U.S. official said, that Israeli had notified the United States through multiple channels shortly before the attack. This is from the New York Times, which makes me think, is there like a Middle East bombing hotline where you call up the United States government and they go, press one if you're bombing Israel, press two if you're bombing the Houthis, press three if you're bombing some other territory. And they go, okay, please hold. And then someone gets on the line and they go, all right, what were you looking to bomb? Okay, cool. No problem. Let me check, see if you got approval. What was your account number again? What was, okay, 347-842, killing random people in Iran, approved. And then lastly, this is from the New York Times. Social media users in Iran, including some connected to the country's military, mocked the Israeli strike as puny response to the roughly 300 missiles and drones that Iran launched at Israel last weekend. Well, can you guys just pretend like you're super afraid and do the war theater on your part a little bit better? Each side on this one, it almost feels like they're preparing for a fight and they're trying to move the lines. You know, when you're like a boxer and you try and show off your training and you try and be like, listen, don't downplay what I can do. So Iran just got struck by Israel and they're like, come on. They barely did anything. We can totally handle that. If they sent more, we could do even more. And then Israel's like, look at how good our systems are. Are the elites betting on this war? And this is like the early training footage where they're trying to get the odds to spin in their favor. And then, all right, that's the last of that topic. Hey, listen, if you guys want to actually go ahead and make sure that you're prepared for if World War III goes down and then the American government folds, and then you got to be out there and you got to fend for yourself, go to phoenixammo.com. The only place where you're going to get high quality bullets shipped right to your door. and fresh bags so you can go out to the range, you can train, you can make sure that you're prepared, you can make sure that you got the armory and all the supplies that you want, and you can know that you are not supporting the military-industrial complex. You got all sorts of other companies. They're making bullets. They'll sell it to your local police force. They'll sell it to the feds. They'll sell it to the military. They'll send it to Ukraine. They'll send it to anyone. They don't care. They're just looking for the money, but not PhoenixAmmo.com. PhoenixAmmo.com, they got high-quality bullets, and you can go purchase them. You can tell them that I sent you, and you can know that you're not supporting the military-industrial complex. All right, let's take a couple comments. Red Z, don't read this. Okay, I'm already reading it. I'm pot committed, so sorry. APT means ready. Napoleonic law means following sentences only by the book. Louisiana had that type of law. Synchronized Zins. Let's get weird. I'm game for that. And this is a six, so we're about to get going. I think there might be a little bit of a lag here, so I will stall. I will say nothing of value in any capacity whatsoever, so that you can take yours in and we can all coordinate putting a zin into our mouth at the same time. I like this energy. And if you got a three, go for two threes right now. Shove two threes in there so that you can be matching my energy of the six on 3, 2, 1. There you go. Everybody's zinned up and ready to go. Hopefully my nicotine sponsor with better pouches comes through soon so that we can stop plugging zin. Goalie, plot twist, the guy's Indian, responds to everything with you said Pakistani, correct? That's not bad. What's the number? I want to prank call the bombing hotline. Good morning from Northern California. When are you and Davey coming this way? I will be doing California as a part of Porch Tour with Brian McWilliams. I believe it's the first weekend in August, and we're going to be doing Brian's backyard, Aguanga, or whatever the hell that was, and I don't know, some other area. All right, let's get back into the news. Next up, all right, you know, you got Gene Hackman, one of the greatest actors of all time, and the New York Post, every once in a while, he comes out of hiding, and they like to take pictures, and they like to publish his pictures online. I might have already talked about this article before in the show, but I'm going to sleep at night, and I'm just seeing this image etched into my head. And it's disturbing me because I, you know, like sometimes you just can't go to bed because you got these random thoughts that are just floating around in your head. And the thought that's floating in my brain right now is, why can't Gene Hackman get better pie? If you made all this money in Hollywood, how do you not have a chef at home who can just make you apple pie? How do you not have a bakery that you can go to and go get great apple pie? I told you, I'm a pastry whisperer. If there's a marketplace for these celebrities who don't know how to go and purchase better pie, Gene Hackman, hire me. I will give up my career talking about the news just to be a pastry coordinator for high net worth celebrities who don't know how to go and purchase pie. What? Because firstly, I took this as inspiring at first. At first, I was inspired, where you can be so wealthy, you can be a person of Gene Hackman's caliber, you can have gone through the entire charade of a long-standing, brilliant Hollywood career, and then retire somewhere, and it's just the simple things. It's things that even you, like, you would think if you got to Gene Hackman's net worth, and I'm assuming he didn't go broke working in Hollywood, you would think that he was out on a boat just living out Lex Luthor. He was just doing that. You know, he's just out there on his yacht. They import younger looking women all the time. He sits there, he's drinking cocktails, he's still making important decisions. Like, if you just took the Hollywood elite and you envisioned in their head the way that they're spending their time, you would think that they're having a blast. And you would think that you, as an individual who did not have that kind of earnings within your lifetime, were missing out on something. But apparently you make it to 93 years old and all you want to do is go to the gas station, have a cup of coffee and eat shitty pie. And by the way, I'll eat gas station food. I eat gas station food. I'm out on the road. But the boxed pie, that's like the lowest end of what you can possibly eat. I don't even like, dude, I eat cake and I eat cake from gas stations and I'll even eat packaged cake. But I, you know, when the last time I ate one of those little boxed fruit pies, and especially a no-name brand fruit pie, that is the absolute lowest rung of pastry consumption. If someone could do like a cereal type series, a full-fledged documentary into Gene Hackman's pie eating habits and as to what happened in his life, that he's now eating these little box pies from local the gas stations, I am fascinated. This keeps me up at night. If you guys want to know what I'm thinking about when I'm not talking politics and doing comedy, I'm going to bed, staring at my roof, wondering what happened to Gene Hackman that he's eating pies from gas stations. And if anyone has any information on this, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Nancy Pelosi is putting out a new book, The Art of Power, My Story as America's First Woman Speaker of the House by Nancy Pelosi. And I'm looking at it. I don't know. Doesn't it feel like she touches like a lot of things in a weird way? Like, firstly, if you're going to put a cover on a book, how ugly do you think you are that you don't even show your face in it? And you got them big, heavy titties. Prop them up, you know, but put some of that moisturizer on it. Put some of that kid thing on it that keeps them fresh and pampered. That's the one thing you got going for you. Stuff those things up and show them off. But no, we're seeing Nancy Pelosi from behind in some really creepy, like, lizard pose where it's like, you know, just feeling the door for the energy. And that's like her in some weird way. You look at the, you're like, that's her. That's her quintessential pose in some weird way, right? Doesn't she just kind of touch things a lot? I don't know. And the art of power, how to make sure that your husband has normal access to male hookers. The art of power. Is there going to be a chapter on insider trading? Will there be chapter 3? How to be one of the greatest stock pickers in human history? All right, next up, I got to pull this guy out. It's a six. It's a six. I don't want to leave the sixes in too long. Why Biden is pushing to triple Chinese steel tariffs. But Biden's got a new plan for beating inflation, which is you've got inflation is pushing the prices up. And so you can beat inflation if you can push up the prices even more. That's how you beat inflation, right? Inflation's driving up prices. So if you can step into the market and do even more to step up the prices, that's how you beat inflation. This is Biden's new plan. I'm going to show you prices, okay? You think the grocery stores are going to keep going up? And I'll show you, Buster. I'll make all your supplies more expensive. Whole building's going to be more expensive. It's like, I don't know why Donald Trump's been talking about steel tariffs as well. Good luck with the tariffs and bringing down prices, everybody. All right, I want to dig in to this article. This one, we're going to do a full read. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And Biden put out an article, Ukraine and Israel, Moment of Truth, where he is advocating for basically his policies and for why we need to continue sending aid to these countries. We're going to go full screen so that I can get a better view of this. And I want to read it and break it down because I feel like it's such a summary of all of the propaganda and nonsense for why that they're pitching these wars. And unlike when he usually stumbles and mutters or otherwise, it's actually quite focused. It's kind of a summary of all the bullshit. And so I think it's a worthwhile read. So that's the wrong full screen. That's the right full screen. All right, let's see if I can get over there without tripping on wires. Here we go. Iran launched an unprecedented attack against Israel this weekend with a barrage of missiles. I just want to say I stepped right into a light. I mean, we got to reorganize around here a little bit, but literally I just stepped right into a blinding light and then I was thinking about ignoring it, but zinned up. You can't not talk about the things that are on your mind. Okay, listen, guys, we're going to refocus here. Iran launched an unprecedented attack against Israel this weekend with a barrage of missiles and drones. Around the same time, some 1,500 miles north, Russia continued its bombardment of Ukraine, which has intensified dramatically in the last month. Both Ukraine and Israel defend themselves against the attacks, holding the line and protecting their citizens, and both did it with critical help from the U.S. Now is not the time to abandon our friends. The House must pass urgent national security legislation for Ukraine and Israel, as well as desperately needed humanitarian aid for Palestinians and Gaza. Guys, we got to fund both sides of this thing. Everyone needs more money. They got to fight these wars, and we've got to help the victims of the wars. We both got to help the people who are engaging in the warfare and creating harsh conditions for the citizens. And then we also have to help the citizens so that the problem can go on for longer. Let's continue. In this third year of Russia's war, Ukraine continues to defy the odds. Against a much larger military, the Ukrainians regained more than half the territory that Russia occupied after its 2022 invasion. They've struck the Russian Navy time and again, winning important victories in the Black Sea. And they developed innovative weapons, especially drones, to counter Russian forces. There's a fighting force with the will and skill to win. So here you go. They're still selling us on the idea that they can win the war, that they have been victorious, and we just need to stop Russia before they go and invade all of Europe. We haven't gotten to the invade all of Europe part, but they're still selling us on the fact that Ukraine can win. On the topic of the drones, I think that this war has actually shown some major problems with the U.S. military, because apparently the drones that we've been sending over there have not been working particularly well. And you guys can watch Ron Johnson. He was also did a Zero Hedge debate. He said two fascinating things. Maybe down the line, we'll be able to get him on Part of the Problem. I can't imagine I can get him on Run Your Mouth. He was one of the best when it came to COVID vaccine injuries and trying to cover all that. But he made two particularly interesting points in that Zero Hedge debate. One was he talks about that there's a deep state and war machine that seems to be working against, and even the intelligence agencies who don't seem to be working in the American people's best interest. And then he also talks about the price discrepancies on what we have to pay per weapon as opposed to the Russians, and why this war is so expensive to us, because obviously favorable contracts to the military industrial complex where we're paying obscenely high prices for bullets and other military supplies that Russia seems to be able to source for a lot cheaper. But here you have Biden pitching us on the idea that Ukraine is winning the war, can win the war, and just needs more support, and even points to the success of their usage of drones, even though everything I've read is that at least the drones that we've been sending over have been particularly unuseful. And if you guys want to go see that article, it was definitely one on Mish Talk that I read about it. All right, let's continue. Meanwhile, as we saw this week, why do they keep having these stupid dashes? Is that like, do they print Biden's stutter into the article? I mean, when you have someone write, is this why Biden can't read the teleprompters? Is that people are actually writing the stutters into it? Because Biden didn't write this thing. He signed his name to it after someone on his staff wrote it. Have you guys ever seen Weekend written that way? Maybe I'm the idiot. Let's continue. Meanwhile, as we saw this weekend, Israel's military had the technology and training to defend the country against even an attack of unprecedented scope and ferocity. Because when they called us before and to find out what we could defend, we gave them the scoop on it. But let's continue. While both countries can capably defend their own sovereignty, there's no way it's pronounced that way, they depend on American assistance, including weaponry, to do it. And this is a pivotal moment. Vladimir Putin is ramping up his onslaught with help from his friends. China is providing Russia with microelectronics and other equipment that is critical for defense production. Iran is sending hundreds of drones. North Korea is providing artillery and ballistic missiles. Ukraine, facing ammunition shortfalls, is losing hold of territory it had regained. Wow. It's only one paragraph later and you're already contradicting yourself. I thought they were winning. I thought you said that they had massive wins and that they could win this thing. Now it sounds like this war has rallied together countries that we've deemed our enemies to work together and that we're losing. All right, let's continue. After years of backing Hezbollah, Hamas, and other proxies in their attacks on Israel, including Hamas' brutal attack on October 7th, Iran launched a direct attack of its own, hoping to penetrate Israel's air defense, including David Sling's and the Iron Dome, which saved countless lives this weekend. Once again, as if Iran was actually trying to inflict damage, but the defenses were just too great. And if that's actually true, that Iran was doing a full-fledged attack and trying to harm Israel, then can we just say we don't have to be concerned with Iran? I mean, if this was not coordinated theater and Iran actually pulled out all the stops trying to harm Israel and Israel's defenses are so good, then it sounds like you can keep investing in defense and you don't have to go to war with Iran. It sounds to me like, why not? If you're winning championships with defense, why are you going to go out and get yourself a great quarterback? Let's just keep building up the defense. Sounds like you're winning championships here. Both Ukraine and Israel are under attack by brazen adversaries that seek their annihilation. Mr. Putin wants to subjugate the people of Ukraine and absorb their nation into a new Russian empire. The government of Iran wants to destroy Israel forever, wiping the world's only Jewish state off the map. These are mortal enemies, everybody. America must never accept either outcome, not only because we stand up for our friends, but because our security is on the line too. All right, guys, Russia and Iran are our mortal enemies. Russia is trying to take over all of Europe. Iran will destroy Israel. And even though those countries are on other sides of the globe, if we don't get involved, it's going to harm our security. Let's find out why. If Russia triumphs, Mr. Putin's forces will move closer than ever to our North Atlantic Treaty Organization allies. An attack on one is an attack on us all. Means that if Mr. Putin invades a NATO ally, we will come to aid as our NATO allies did for us after September 11th attacks. Now, doesn't this just sound backwards? We need to fight on behalf of Ukraine, because if we don't fight on behalf of Ukraine, then they might invade other people and then we're forced to attack them. Well, it brings you to the same place. You're still in a war with them anyways. Hey, if they get through Ukraine, then we'll be in a war with them. So we might as well be in a war with them sooner to avoid the war that we'll have to be in them. Well, it doesn't, then you're already in the war with them. All right, let's continue. We should urge support to Ukraine now to stop Mr. Putin from encroaching on our NATO allies and ensure that he doesn't draw U.S. troops into a future war in Europe. All right, I guess that's a valid point, is that if we can have the Ukrainians die instead of our troops, let's do that. Likewise, if Iran succeeds in significantly escalating its assault on Israel, the U.S. could be drawn in. Israel is our strongest partner in the Middle East. It's unthinkable that we would stand by if its defenses were weakened and Iran was able to carry out the destruction it intended this weekend. We can make that outcome less likely by replenishing Israel's air defenses and providing military aid now so its defenses can remain fully stocked and ready. If Congress passes military aid for Ukraine and Israel, we won't write blank checks. We'd send military equipment from our own stockpiles, then use money authorized by Congress to replenish those stockpiles by buying them from American suppliers. So guys, this is good for my friends. Listen, don't pretend. Do not pretend like if we're spending all this money on other countries that it doesn't benefit us, because I've got friends with military industrial supplies. And if they can get some of this old shit off their books and then they can replenish it, we're just helping them get product off their books and boost their profits, which helps everybody. Who does it help? It includes Patriot missiles made in Arizona, Javelin missiles made in Alabama, and artillery shells made in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Texas. We'd be investing in America's industrial base, buying American products made by American workers, supporting jobs in nearly 40 states, and strengthening our own national security. We'd help our friends while helping ourselves, which really, we should be having wars all the time. Guys, wars, that's how we make money over here. That's how we make sure that people have jobs. I mean, could we convert these people to working on roads, bridges, or something else? Well, if we can go spend that money so that we can kill other people and bomb other things, I mean, that's a good use of people and resources. We got to keep the money flowing here. I've been clear about my concerns over the safety of civilians in Gaza amid the war with Hamas, but this aid package is focused on Israel's long-term defensive needs to ensure it can maintain its military edge against Iran or any other adversary. Importantly, this bill has funding that will allow us to continue delivering urgent humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza, as well as others who have felt the impacts of conflicts around the world. It is a strong and sensible plan. It shouldn't be held hostage any longer by a small group of extreme Republican House members. Mr. Putin has tried relentlessly to break the will of the Ukrainian people. He has failed. Now he's trying to break the will of the West. We cannot let him succeed. All right, there you go. A recap of Biden pitching us on why we need to have continued support for these wars, because we can still win them. All right, let's take a couple comments, and then we still have more show, everybody. Andrew, coming through. Sup, Robbie? I actually made it for a live stream. People should be most afraid of Iran's cyber unit. They're some of the best out there, just as good as Israel. There you go. By the way, we're going to be back at Andrew's farm, and I have to coordinate with him because he's working on the back end for the show so we can get off of the YouTubes and all these other places that like to censor us. And now you've got Johnson, who's trying to work it, make sure that he can get the money to the rest of the world, letting people know we can't afford to play politics on this. We have to do the right thing, because that's not playing politics. It's just determining that your opinion is the right thing and that no one's allowed to argue with you. And then, so are there other things that you think would be the right thing, but you can't afford to play politics with? So can Mike Johnson explain to us what this phrase means that they like to say, if we can't afford to play politics with this one? So basically, you go out every single day and you guys pretend to bicker and argue about some things because that's how you keep your jobs. It's a sport. You're playing politics. We all understand that sometimes we go out there, we play this game. It's called politics, and that's the show. And then sometimes we actually sit down and there's things that we care about, and so we just pass them. And so this is one of the things where we don't need to engage in that theater and that whole game, that thing that we do for CNN and Fox News to keep the voters entertained, to keep the people like me being able to, you know, create a show and have sponsor dollars. It's WWF. And so there's a lot of topics where we can go out there and we can pretend to have a match with each other. But then there's some other ones that are just so important that, you know, we can all just decide, hey, let's do away with it. Isn't politics the process by which you guys debate who's actually being right? Isn't that, if there's a better process, can you explain to us what that process is? Or what would be the process of deciding what should be a topic that you play politics with? Do you have to politic on that? How does that work? How does an argument work for deciding which topic shouldn't be debated because it's too important? And how is that not considered engaging in politics? And if you got some different structure for this, why don't we just pivot to that? And so here you have, you guys can tell me if the sound's working on this. If not, we're only showing two videos and we've already done enough show. But here you've got the Speaker of the House pitching on why we need to make sure that all wars everywhere all the time get their funding. Here we go.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might.
When you have to use language like, I truly believe, I really believe, that means you probably don't have good evidence to actually substantiate your opinion. Like if someone said, well, what evidence do you have of this? And you got to pivot to, well, I just really believe it. So does that mean you don't have good evidence for this position? Why do you have to really believe it? Can't you just tell me like what the intelligence is?
Have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that because we have to do the right thing and history will judge us.
Isn't it weird when he's lying harder, he sounds more like Kevin Spacey. All right. I think I had a couple other quick topics. What else we got here? Oh, Mayorkas was not impeached. They brought him in front of the Senate, but the Senate is not controlled by the Republicans. And so they were unable to impeach Mayorkas. Now, if you guys want to start getting technical, I didn't really fully get into this topic. A lot of people arguing we can't be living in a world where you're impeaching that people other than the president or whatever the process is. But it seems to me like Mayorkas has pretty specifically had a directive, which is get as many people over the border as possible. And so they've done quite a few things in order to do this. Firstly, they got rid of a bunch of Donald Trump policies that were working, such as remain in Mexico. And then they seem to use this this paroling system where essentially if you overwhelm the capacity of who we can keep at the border, because you don't want kids in cages, you don't want those pictures, no one likes that. And so if you overwhelm the facilities that we have for processing people, then instead of holding them, you just parole them because you don't have room for them. So if you get so many people in that you can't possibly contain them, instead of sending people back, the only thing that you can possibly do is let them into the country. And so beyond the gotaways, you've also got all these paroled people who I don't understand the legality of that. Someone breaks into the country, they sneak into the country, they break the law. And then since you don't have can you imagine if you got caught by the cops for doing a crime and then they just paroled you on the spot because they didn't have enough room in the jail cells for you? It seems like a pretty And also, Biden admitted it, that things such as just paroling people because it's overwhelmed creates an incentive for more people to overwhelm the border, because the more people that are coming, the more that the systems will be overwhelmed and the more people will be forced to parole. Pretty good way to make sure that you guys can all get into the country illegally. All right. So anyways, this was part of the questioning from Rand Paul. You know what? I forgot to look up the case, but I guess there was a specific incident of a person that snuck into the country, was paroled, probably should not have been paroled because of a criminal record or otherwise. I got to check the details on this one, and then later killed someone in the United States of America. And so obviously they're grilling my Mayorkas on why was this person paroled? And obviously, if this person was paroled, you got the question of how many other people were paroled. Do we have any numbers on this? Do we know how many people who might be criminals are in the country? And so here is some of Rand Paul questioning Mayorkas. While I don't know the specifics of that case, I do think it sheds some light on the fact that they are just paroling people at the border, that I don't even know if we have numbers on that per se, and as to whether or not that's even a legal process. And by the way, Mayorkas is a very smart guy. Like, you watch him, and he's pretty slick in the way that he's actually handles these questions.
Enlisted is parole due to detention capacity. Is parole due to detention capacity a lawful reason for paroling someone?
Ranking Member Paul, there are different bases for parole. I am not a legal expert in this regard, but let me assure you that when an individual is encountered at the border and they are deemed to be, at the time of encounter, a threat to public safety or national security, they are a priority for detention. If
that's already a slick answer, because if deemed at the time, but what if you don't do any research on the person? What if your systems are overwhelmed and you're just paroling people, so you just let them out? So when you say deemed at the time, are you actually doing anything to find out whether or not it's a dangerous individual? Or are you just going, hey, we don't have any room for you, come on in? And then, yeah, you didn't have to deem anybody of anything at the time because you didn't look into it.
Not, they receive a notice to appear and are placed in immigration enforcement proceedings. The number of individuals encountered at
which, by the way, how many people actually reappear once they receive those notices?
At the border, exceed the number of beds available in our detention facilities. That is not something specific to this administration. That is something that has
true. You might have more beds if they remained in Mexico. Did the administration, when you came into office, reverse 92 executive orders of the Trump administration, which allowed them to apparently have people remain in Mexico, allowed them to have, you know, probably 90% less parolees than you have. And so when you come to us and you say, oh gosh, if we only had more legislation, we could do it. Why don't you bring back the executive orders of Donald Trump that seem to be working? You immediately got rid of them for political purposes. The border's a disaster. Why don't you bring back the 92 executive orders that you reversed?
I respectfully, Ranking Member Paul, disagree with the premise of your question.
That's because you refuse to look at the facts, and it's still, you know, I guess insulting to all of us and insulting to the memory of Lake and Riley and to the memory of others who have been killed by people who came into this country. March 2nd, an illegal alien who got into the country as a gotaway, killed Washington State Trooper Christopher Gadd. Haitian man who entered the U.S. via the CHNV parole program was arrested for sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl. March 21st, illegal aliens in El Paso rushed the fence. You saw that on national television. An illegal alien on March 23rd murdered 25-year-old Michigan resident Ruby Garcia.
That's enough of that. I mostly just wanted to showcase the paroling, which I think has been one of the biggest failures of the Biden administration, or as they intentionally try and get as many people over the border as possible. All right, hold on. I accidentally made a change here because we got a couple more topics coming at you. But why not take this moment and plug YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, only place in the entire world. You can get an entire kilo of Kratom for just $60. This is ongoing and an interesting one of the, it looks like the Supreme Court may reverse the prosecutionary, that's not the way to say that, but the decision to prosecute people for obstruction of an official proceeding. So that was a law that was basically made for post-Enron, that if you're cooking your books, you're destroying evidence, you're getting in the way of official proceedings to find you guilty. Even that seems like a strange law. I don't know why you need to participate in collecting the own evidence against you. But the Supreme Court thinks that it was a stretch to apply this to people that were in the Capitol on January 6th. And so it'll be interesting to see, though, then if the prosecutors find new ways to, I guess, retry those people and find them guilty of something else. But it does seem like one of the things used to, I think the number was 300 or 600 off the top of my head, have people in jail might be overruled. And then this is last article I'll read from today. Actually, you know what? I'm calling it there. It's just about student loan debts and how getting rid of student loan debts basically just further incentivizes bad behavior. All right, that is the show. Thank you for hanging out with us. Back probably next week, Monday, for a new episode. My guess is next week, Monday and Wednesday, because I think, oh yeah, doing what do we got next week? We're back in St. Louis with Dave Smith. And after that, we got Tacoma, Washington, and Spokane. You guys are way too picky about your shitty town. All right, whatever. It's so fine. Some town that we've never been to and we're going to perform at once. We don't know how to pronounce properly. Is that big of a deal? Are you guys that important? You need your town pronounced exactly perfectly? While we announced the gig on the show for 2 weeks and we didn't know what your town was beforehand. We don't know what your town is. I mean, I'm very excited to do it. I've heard that it's beautiful out there. I've done Sandpoint where I go through Spokane. It's beautiful out there. I love it. I'm very excited to do the show. I don't know what all the outrage is about us getting the name incorrect. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal. With that said, though, I did hate that lady every time she said Hamas the way that she said Hamas. So, you know, just another thing I might be wrong on. Kickstarting Summer Porch Tour with Clint down in Florida. I will have that link up hopefully by next week, Monday. If you live out in Florida, mark that on your calendar. It's going to be Saturday, May 18th. And then if you live in the New York area and you are around on Mother's Day, I'm doing a 6 p.m. show at Brooklyn Comedy Club. Going to load it up with some of my comedian friends. Please come out. Please come support. That's firstly, that's going to be a really fun show. It's also a good show to show up to because that's the primary club I have right now for working on new material. So it'd be nice to see a nice showing from the fans if I'm producing my own show there. That's it. That's the episode. Thanks for hanging out. Back next week. Hope you guys have a great weekend.